Hey, friendly reminder, this podcast is not for kids or people who have a stick up their ass.
Friday, 5:58 p.m.
I'm sleeping with my best friend's husband.
I think my uncle killed someone in his suicide.
I am a sugar baby.
Soccer mom addicted to Adderall.
I think my sister is actually my uncle's kid.
My husband bought his hooker a car whenever
What's your secret? Welcome back to another week of Beyond the Secret. My name is Ace Fanning, and let me tell you something. This is a huge week for Beyond the Secret because this is officially my 100th secret. Not my 100th episode, not to be confused. Because between the public and Patreon versions of this podcast, I feel like I'm sitting more at like 200 different episodes. But this is secret 100. Triple digits. And to be honest with you, I put a lot of pressure on myself when I was trying to decide what story I would put in this spot. I was like asking myself, I'm like, do I put something in here that will make people cry? Or should I try to make people laugh? Like the past year's been a lot. Maybe I should try to go that route. Do I do something sexual? Do I do something that's like a head scratcher? And then I found myself on the listening end of this story. And I just knew. Like, I knew that this was the one that I wanted because this story gives you all of the above. This story has every piece in it that makes Beyond the Secret what it is. And that just felt fitting for the 100th secret. If you've been missing your weekly dose of Beyond the Secret and the secrets that helped get us to Secret 100, you can always sign up for Patreon. It is $10 a month, and in my very humble opinion, absolutely worth it. Better than that, Patreon is what helps keep the show going. And I hope, you know, one day to get us to another 100 secrets. Moving forward. If you've been here since Secret 001, which is before this was even a podcast, I just want to take a quick second to thank you for sticking around and showing your endless support. I appreciate you way more than you could ever know. And if your secret is one of the 100 secrets shared on this show would not exist without you. And I cannot thank you enough for opening up your life to us and trusting me to help tell your story. And I don't take your trust lightly. That means everything to me. And I just want you to know how much you, your secrets, and your trust mean to me. Okay. I should probably stop talking about the secret and just let you hear it. So, here we go. This week's secret, Secret 100. Love Triangle, Part 1. Tell me about yourself.
I am a 41-year-old man. I am a tattoo artist, previous teacher. I have a master's, well, almost a master's in art education. I'm a good guy. I love people. I've always loved just all types of people, all types of humans. I've got two beautiful children. I have a wife of 17 years. We've been together for 23. And yeah, just living my best life, at least trying to.
Tell me about the first time you met your wife.
It literally was love at first sight. She was not my type at all. And we met, I was in college, I was a freshman, and she was a senior in high school. And my roommate at the time in the dorms had met some girl online, which at that time, you know, 20 years ago was very different, risque, however you want to call it. And I was like, you're fucking weird. You're bringing some weird chick over to the dorm room and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't know about this. So this woman shows up and she brings along with her friend, and who happens to be, you know, eventually my future wife. And she walked in and she had braces and cute little chubby little cheeks and baggy pants and a white t-shirt on. And I just was smitten by her. But yeah, it was funny because once we kind of first met, she told me that she had seen me, you know, like a year or two before, and I was working at the mall, and she had walked by with her dad, and she looked at her dad and said, I'm going to marry that guy someday. And her dad was like, well, who the hell is that? She's like, I don't know. And then we happened to meet a year or two later and started dating and fell in love rather quickly.
How would you describe your marriage in the beginning?
She and I started dating, and we dated for like, you know, 2 years, I think, and then ended up splitting up. And, you know, kind of split up because she was very dependent on me. I was very independent. And I think at the time I just was like, I just don't, you know, want this crazy relationship. Even though I was deeply in love with her, I still kind of needed to get crazy, wild, and do whatever I needed to do. So we did split up for probably a couple of years, but we always kept in contact. And I was an asshole. I'd invite her over for the night. We'd play around, sleep together. And then the next morning I'd be like, yeah, I'm good. I'll talk to you later. Very dickish move on my part. But I was, you know, I was 20 years old, and it was kind of, you know, up and down those couple of years while we were separated. And as things kind of went on, I realized how much I did love her and wanted to spend the rest of my life with her. She was just an extraordinary human who made me better. And so we ended up getting back together and got engaged and got married. Our marriage in the beginning was great. We moved, and we moved to Denver. She started going to medical school. I began teaching as an art teacher, and we just had the two of us. We didn't have family around. We left all of our family back in our hometown and just enjoyed life together. I mean, I have a lot of fond memories. We were broke as shit. We had no money. You know, she didn't work because I didn't, well, she didn't want to work and I didn't want her to work. We wanted her to focus on schooling with getting her doctorate. I mean, it was just nonstop schoolwork. So I worked, I would teach during the day and delivered pizzas at night to kind of bring some additional income coming in. We were poor, but we had so much fun, and we just really connected those first 5 years that we lived in Denver together. We made new friends. We just were enjoying life.
And how would you describe your sex life during that time?
That's a loaded question. To be completely honest, like, we never had the most, I would say, compassionate or not compassionate, but never had a real vigorous sex life. And I lost my virginity to her. She lost her virginity to me. I think her coming from a religious background kind of stifled that idea of, you know, sex can be fun and it should be enjoyable, but it was more about, you know, it's really there for having children someday. And that was that. But we would explore things, you know, in when we moved, we started, both of us started getting into watching pornography together and different variations of pornography. And we got into the toys. So we tried to keep things interesting, but I think we both were challenged in the bedroom for whatever reason. But it was frustrating because we had such a deep emotional and romantic connection outside of maybe just like sex. Like everything about us was and will continue to be great. But I think both of us being super young and very inexperienced, we weren't really sure. We weren't promiscuous in high school. We didn't fool, you know, we didn't sleep with anybody else in high school. We just had each other. So I think that, along with some, I think just childhood traumas, kind of stifled our sex life a little bit. But it wasn't horrible. It was just, you know, navigating that together very immaturely, I guess you could say.
How long into your marriage did you guys have kids?
So we waited, I believe it was almost 5 years, five and a half years, until we had our first kid. We had about 4 years, and I believe we officially started trying, and we had two pregnancy losses. The first one was a miscarriage early on. And then the second one ended up being an ectopic pregnancy, which actually almost ended my wife's life. The baby was still growing, her tube ruptured. She had to have, I think it's like two or three blood transfusions. So we thought maybe we weren't going to have kids because, you know, she was down to one tube. None of the pregnancies were sticking. But eventually we got pregnant again and had a little baby girl.
How do you feel like your relationship with your wife changed by becoming parents?
I don't think anybody can really be prepared to be parents. You have everybody that tells you every which way you should be a parent. But I think when kids come along, especially the way we had kids, I mean, we had our daughter, and then 14 months later, we had our son. We had kids like back to back. And you know, those first couple of years are very, like the memories are very absent because we were so busy. We had two kids in diapers and bottles, and both, you know, I'm running my own business. She's a doctor, and we're trying to run a household. And so those first couple of years were very much a blur. And I think we were still very in love, very much in love, but also doing what we thought was expected of a normal traditional family. Like, you know, this is what you do, and everybody stays busy, and you go to work, you come home, put the kids to bed, maybe watch some TV, and then go to bed. And I think you start losing yourself in your children. You can also, I see a lot of people kind of like also lose themselves away from their spouse because you just get so busy with life.
Do you feel like you and your wife lost each other during that time?
I don't necessarily feel like we lost each other. I think what happened dealing with my own internal demons and not acknowledging those and having that discussion with her pushed us further apart, but yet both knowing like we didn't want anything different. We were very much in love. Yeah, we were just, I think, just trying to work through life as young parents, new careers, little tiny children, just trying to make ends meet.
What were the internal struggles that you were dealing with?
So I think for me, I've always been challenged, I think, in a way of questioning who I am, where do I fit, you know, what is my purpose? I'm a very deep thinker. And I think going through life in a very structured, strict home, you know, we were expected to look a certain way and act a certain way for the outside world. And anything but that was wrong. And so you kind of grow up being somebody that you're told you should be, but knowing like something inside is just not sitting right. And so how do you work through that? And so I think as you kind of work through those things, you know, you build a little bit of anxiety and you build some depression. And especially if you don't know who you are, you're told who you should be, but you're not sure who you are. It's a very challenging place to be, especially as a man.
How would you describe yourself as a child growing up?
I would describe myself as a very outgoing kid. I was very social. I loved being the center of attention. I mean, I played with the boys, but I never quite fit in with the, like, you know, jock boys. And I would often find myself playing with the girls and, you know, playing house and playing with dolls and doing things that, you know, boys shouldn't be doing. But I tried to play the part. I liked girls. I liked girls because I liked to hang out with them. I thought they were pretty and they smelled good. But I also wanted to be those, like, tough boys. You know, my dad is a hunter. He's a fisherman. He's a camper. He's all those things. I don't like to fish. I don't like to hunt. I think it's sad when, you know, animals get killed. It just wasn't for me. But you play the part, you know? And so part of my childhood was a very strict mother. There was a lot of, I think, emotional and psychological type abuse. I was told if you act like that or you do those things, people are going to think this or that about you. And it was often, oh, they're going to think you're a faggot or they're going to think you're gay. You know, there was a lot of that kind of stuff that would be brought up in the household. And even, you know, other boys that I would hang out with, they would, you know, say those things to me. And I didn't understand that. That didn't make sense to me. I'm like, well, I'm just a person. So.
As you grew up and you started to have feelings, both sexual and emotional, did you find yourself questioning your sexuality?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think even before I began to understand what, you know, sexuality was, I mean, I was kissing girls in kindergarten and was, you know, I liked girls. But I remember third grade, I had a crush. I mean, I understand it now as a crush. Then I had no idea on a fifth grade boy. And that was, you know, looking back now, I'm like, oh, that was very confusing because I liked both the boys and the girls. Like, I didn't understand what any of that meant. And I think as I grew up, and especially into like middle school and high school, where your hormones are starting to go and you're questioning yourself. And I mean, I remember noticing, you know, the boys, and I could tell if they were going through puberty or not because they're getting hair on their legs, or you go out with your friends in the summer and they're getting hair under their arms. I was, you know, like, well, that's, you know, that's cool, like, whatever. But yet, you know, it was like, well, I have a girlfriend and she's cute, she smells good, and I want to kiss her. And but yet having these kind of sexual fantasies about, you know, some of these guys that were the same age as I was. I mean, I was hanging out with multiple buddies and we were jerking off together. I mean, I learned how to do that from one of my best friends at the time in fifth grade. And so you have all these boys that are exploring things, but then you question yourself, like, well, what the hell does this mean? I like girls too, but now I'm playing around with my best friend and we're doing stuff that is probably wrong. And you feel a lot of this guilt and shame, and who's going to find out? And what does it mean? It's very, very confusing.
I never had any guy friends growing up, but that is something that happened, like, on occasion or pretty often.
I think it was on occasion. I don't feel like it happened all the time. I think there were, you know, I can remember multiple instances through middle school and high school that I would be, you know, over at my friend's house, and you know, we would just start talking about it, or I want to see yours. No, let me see yours. And then, you know, it would kind of like lead into like, well, who can finish first? Or, you know, I remember at one point, one of my best friends at the time, we, you know, I'd stay the night at his house and we would play like truth or dare. You know, that was a thing that we would do with the girls as well. But he and I played it together. And you know, there's a lot of things that you would dare each other to see, like, if you could do it. Of course, I don't know for him. I can't speak for him. But for me, I was like, oh, I hope he dares me to do this because I want to know what that would be like. You know, but at the same time, I had a lot of girlfriends in high school. I didn't sleep with any of them, but I enjoyed going down on them. I loved I mean, to be blunt, I loved eating pussy. Like, and it was, and people knew that, and I was good at it, and I enjoyed it. I liked the female body. I thought it was sexy. And I always envisioned, you know, being married to a woman. And it was, for me, it was, I think what was really hard is, like, I just didn't see myself like in an emotional relationship with the guy, but I could sure see like messing around. And that was happening in high school. But then you were terrified that, you know, they would be your friend anymore, and they would tell somebody, and then people would know. And then it just, I mean, it was a very vicious cycle for young men and myself. I mean, I, like I said, I can't speak for my friends. I don't know. I mean, most of them are married as well. And, but who knows, you know, if they still feel the same way.
Did you ever have the situation where you messed around with a friend and then they decided they didn't want to be your friend anymore?
No, most of the guys that, you know, when we would have sleepovers and do stuff with, it was just normal. You know, it wasn't that, it just never was a big deal. You know, in the morning I would feel guilt. Like my first mess around with a boy was, I was probably, I don't know, maybe like second grade. And I remember the next morning feeling so much guilt. And I went and told my dad, you know, my friend and I, we touched each other and we did this. And I was only in second grade, so I don't remember the full conversation with my dad, but I remember him saying something like, oh, that's, no, you probably shouldn't do that. It's just boys being boys, you know, whatever. And just was kind of blown off, you know, so it wasn't ever really brought up again, I guess. But I don't remember a friend like ending our friendship because we did something together. I never experienced that.
You said that you had a lot of girlfriends in high school, but you didn't have sex with them. Would you mess around with guys when you had girlfriends?
I don't remember if I did while I had a girlfriend. I don't think I did. If I had a girlfriend, my full energy was put into whatever girl I was dating at the time.
At any point in meeting your wife, dating her, getting married to her, did you ever express that you had these feelings towards men?
So when she and I started dating back in college, and we dated for the first couple of years and then split up, you know, I was really struggling with my sexuality at the time. I didn't understand it. You know, I was finding, you know, myself more interested in looking at the guys, but I was, you know, also dating some other girls, but things weren't working out. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Like, I felt like this, you know, my entire life. I'm 20 at this point. Like, am I gay? Like, I don't think I am. I don't want to be married to a guy. I don't want to have a family with a guy. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. But why do I have these urges and these feelings? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. And so when we split up, I dated several women over the next couple of years, and nothing was working out. And I'd missed, you know, my ex-girlfriend. You know, all these girls were not, they just weren't like her. And I remember going to a movie with like one of my best girlfriends, like a best friend, not anybody that I ever dated or anything like that. And I remember we were in the like Hallmark card store. I don't know what we were doing there, but I was really upset. And she's like, what is going on with you? I'm like, I miss my ex-girlfriend, but I'm really having a hard time with some feelings. And I just don't know what to do. And I was friends with this girl since probably my freshman year of high school. And she was like, you know what's going on. And I was like, what do you mean? I don't know what's going on. She's like, come on, you know. And I just remember standing there, I'm like, oh my God, she's gonna say it. And she goes, you know that you're gay. And I was like, am I? And that was like the first time, I mean, because I had been made fun of through middle school and high school. I'm, you know, sometimes can be, like I said, I'm like life of the party, but I can be a little flamboyant. I can be, you know, all those things. And I was, not, you know, I was an artist. I was in the band and music and all that stuff. So I was definitely, you know, chastised for those things and was often referred to as, so he's a queer, he's a faggot, he's gay, like whatever. And I was like, no, I'm not. But that was the first time somebody who I really loved and cared for that knew me fairly well was like, no, that's who you are. And I will never forget that moment because it really struck me, because I, even at that moment, I was like, I don't think I am, but maybe I am, because nothing is working out. I'm confused. I'm not only interested in women, but I'm also interested in men. And if I like men, that must mean that I'm gay. Like, you can't go both ways. Like, it's just not acceptable. So I guess I am. And I kind of had this moment of, I guess, freedom, but it was very false, because I was listening to somebody else, even though it didn't feel right. I was like, well, I guess so. We went to the movie, and then, you know, I think over the next week or two, I started talking to people about it. And my ex-girlfriend came over to my apartment, because she and my best friend at the time, the girl that I went to the movie with, were also very good friends, and brought her over. And I remember the three of us sat in my room, and I said, I wanted you to be here because I wanted you to know that I think that I'm gay. And I remember my ex-girlfriend started crying. She's like, no, you're not. There's no way. There's no way. So again, that's super conflicting for me. I'm like, well, now she's saying I'm definitely not. But my best friend, who knows me probably better than she does, says that I am. And I like guys, but I like girls too. It was just extremely frustrating. And then once I told her, I told my dad, I told my mom, and then she stopped talking to me for about a month. And my roommates, and for the most part, everybody was like, yeah, I guess that makes sense. And so I kind of went on this, like, I'm gay. I figured myself out. It's not what I want. I want a family, and I want a wife, and I want kids, but I guess that's just not in the cards for me. And so for, I think, maybe like 2 or 3 months, you know, I was coming out and I was telling people, and I met a guy online and just started chatting with him. Nothing ever sexual ever happened with anybody. But I finally went to my first gay bar, and I got hit on, and it terrified me. And then the very next day I was like, this is definitely not for me. Maybe it's just a kink thing. Maybe it's just like some weird fetish thing, but no, this is not for me. And so I recanted everything that I said, which I'm sure was very confusing to, you know, my friends and my parents. And I met back up with my ex, and we started dating again. And so, yeah, she knew, you know, the turmoil and the things that I had gone through. And when we got back, I was like, nah, this is not me. I don't know what was wrong. I think I was just super confused, trying to work through some stuff. I love you. This would be great. And that was that.
I've heard a lot of people's experience when it comes to coming out to their family, but I'm curious to know how everyone reacted when you went back in.
That's a really good question, because honestly, I don't remember. I have learned through therapy that when I go through traumatic events, a lot of things I suppress and I don't remember. So part of going back into, I guess you would say, going back into the closet, I just, sitting here thinking about it, I just remember like life going back to normal. And people are like, yeah, it's just him. He's just that way, you know, whatever. Chalk it up to that, you know, he's just a goofball, whatever. Like, it wasn't a big deal. I remember being a little embarrassed. Like, I'd run into people and I would be back with my girlfriend, and people were like, I'm a little confused. I mean, I had a professor say to me once, after being married for 10 years at the time, like, oh, I thought you were gay. And I was like, no, you know, college woes, figuring shit out. But in the moment of coming, I mean, my future in-laws knew all about it, my family, like, so I think there was a little bit of nervousness and embarrassment there. But again, I think it may have just been like, oh, that's just the way he is, and, you know, and moved on. I don't know. It's weird.
Was that time in your life ever a point of contention, either while you were dating your wife or while you were married?
No, you know, it was known, and then it really wasn't ever brought up again. You know, I think once I said that I wasn't, knowing that there was still something there, but I didn't understand it, I was like, I will live with this for the rest of my life. I will never bring it to the surface again. I am never going to, I can bury this. It'll go away. And so it was just not discussed moving forward in our relationship. There was not a time that I can recall other than, well, I guess when we moved and we lived in Denver, I had a little incident occur with our neighbor's friend. We had a pool, like a community pool that you could hang out. And I remember we all went over there and we were drinking, and then everybody left except for me and my neighbor's friend. And he and I both were very intoxicated, and nothing really happened, but there was definitely some flirtiness going on, maybe some touching, whatever. And then I remember, you know, I woke up the next morning just feeling so sick to my stomach that what did I just do? And I was very honest with my wife and I told her all about it, and we talked through it. And then it was, again, it was just like set aside and just continue moving forward. So it's very strange talking about it out loud, like, you know, these things coming out and saying that I am gay and going back and saying, no, I'm not. And then even having a little bit of a, you know, drunk flirty with another guy while being married, and then being honest with my wife about it, and then being like, okay, moving forward. Like, it was just kind of like we both were really good at just sweeping things under the rug.
It's interesting because up until you just said that of sweeping it under the rug, I was thinking, for someone who grew up very religious, I'm shocked at how cool she is and understanding she is of this entire situation. Mm-hmm. But now hearing you say sweeping it under the rug, I think maybe it wasn't that she was so understanding of it as she was just at pretending it didn't exist.
I think it's actually a little bit of both. I think that's one of the most amazing things about my wife, is that she is the only person in my life that I have truly felt unconditional love from. No judgment, accepts me for exactly who I am. And I think knowing how deep our love was when we met and it continued to grow, and even though these things were coming out, we still knew like that there was this compassionate, deep, you know, unrestricted love that we had for each other. And I know it sounds so cliche, you know, because it's like we're soulmates. It sounds goofy when I say it out loud, but we both wanted to be together, but we both knew that I struggled, but we both didn't want to acknowledge it because it possibly could end us. I don't know if that makes sense, but
it does. So you have this situation with your neighbor's friend, and that's kind of the one situation where you've acted on it. But this entire time, I imagine that the feelings are still there, the temptations are still there. Like, you're still a fairly young guy at this time, full of hormones, testosterone. Like, what does it feel like to go through life and struggle with all of those feelings and desires and wants and have to pretend that they're not there?
I think it is one of the reasons why I am beginning to be more and more vocal about this, because it is, I think, the worst place for a man or a woman to have to endure. And I know that there are plenty of other humans that are going through this that will never acknowledge it. And for whatever reason, they're able to do that. And then for some of us, we're not. And for some others, it ultimately was their end of their story, because they took their life because of how fearful dealing with that is, and not being able to like be your true self. I mean, I remember right after we got married, we both got very much into the church. I didn't grow up in the church, but once I married my wife, we very much got into the church. And I wanted to be this strong Christian man that was taking care of his family and his wife. And I would pray all the time to God to take this away. I don't want it. This isn't for me. I want these feelings to go away. I want to be free of this. I didn't ask for this. Take it away from me. Like, give it to somebody else. I don't want it. I'm happy. I have a beautiful wife. At the time, we didn't have kids, but I was like, we're going to have children. Like, take this away from me. And it obviously never happened. And so as a young man, you battle that. You figure out ways to cope. I'm thankful that I coped, I think, in not necessarily responsible ways, but in appropriate ways. I think the best way that I could, without drugs or alcohol at that time. But for anybody that sits with that, it's horrible. I can't imagine. It's like, it's just being tortured all the time. It ebbs and flows. One month you're fine. The next month it's very intense. And then you get your release or whatever. And then it goes away for another month or two and you think you're good. And then it comes back and it just comes and goes. It comes and goes. And when you tell yourself, I'm going to live with this forever. I'm never, ever going to deal with this or acknowledge it. It's a horrible way to live your life. Horrible.
When you say that you found ways to cope with it, what sort of things did you do?
So I think in the beginning, for me, coping was just a lot of like imagination stuff, you know, masturbating and thinking about other men. You know, I mean, my wife and I, we both watched porn together, and that was always great because we both enjoyed that. I liked, you know, straight porn was great. We would occasionally dive into like lesbian porn. And, you know, that was always fun too. But of course, you know, the gay stuff, the gay porn is very taboo. So that really wasn't ever touched on very much. But then, you know, after we had the kids and moved forward with that, my new way of coping was, I don't even know how I got introduced to it. I think a friend of mine or something shared it with me. But at the time, it was like these video chat type stuff online. And you could go on there because with your, you know, your camera or whatever to get on the computer. And you could go into these rooms and people and whatever. Well, then you would start to go through those rooms and they would no longer be on people's faces, but they would be on other men, you know, masturbating. And then they'd ask you to do it with them. And so that was, for me, a bit of a release. No pun intended, but that helped. Although I, you know, obviously looking back at things now and being in therapy and being very open, that was not good. I mean, it definitely is, I think, a form of cheating because you're kind of connecting with somebody you don't even know and you're doing something together that's fairly intimate. But for somebody who is very confused and needing to, I don't know, almost like, it's almost like a drug habit, to be completely honest. And it was, you know, sometimes it was a couple times a week I'd hop on there at night and then I wouldn't do it for a month or two and then something would trigger me and I'd go back onto it and do that again. But it was definitely a way for me to kind of like navigate, but it left me feeling very, very guilty and very shameful.
I think what's so sad to hear it like that is saying that it's like a drug addict is that what you were doing wasn't wrong if you could just be open about it. Like men having sex together is not wrong. That's a great thing. People in love, people making love, people whatever, all of that is good, where like we know that drugs are bad, drugs kill you. Like, I think that it's so sad to think of the idea that you felt like what you were doing was so wrong. And I get why you felt that. I don't even know if I'm making sense, but it's crazy because if we lived in a different world and if you were in a place where you felt like you could openly express this, it wouldn't be such a quote unquote bad thing that you were doing.
Oh, I 100% agree with what you're saying. I think the challenge is that when you are presented in a heteronormative monogamous relationship, and then you're not being honest with yourself, you're not being honest with your spouse, you do tend to feel like you're doing something wrong. And I'm totally agreeing with you. I think sex should be celebrated. However, I think that, you know, closeted men and closeted women who are looking for an outlet for a release, it's very similar to a drug addict looking for that fix because it makes them feel better. And, you know, in those moments, you feel a little bit like yourself. You're kind of getting out what you need from something. But then reality comes back and you're back in your white picket fence, heteronormative relationship, and doing what society has placed a little box around you and said, this is how you do this. That what you just did is wrong, which we know, I agree with you, is not wrong. But from societal standards, what I was doing was wrong. And I was made to feel that it was wrong. And I felt guilty and shame, you know.
During this time, were you ever fearful that you would need or seek out more than just people behind a computer screen?
I think at that time, no. I was definitely very early on in the stages of trying to like navigate my feelings because, and I really want to be really, really clear, like these are, I didn't want to do these things. I am very much in love with my wife and there's never been a question of that. But when you're fighting your internal demons of sexuality and sexual desires and feeling like you'll be shamed for it, and also coming out and then going back in and then doing this on the side, like I'm a real fucked up individual. You just can, yeah, I think over time you think like, oh, this is sustainable. This will be okay. I'm not doing anything wrong. But of course, it's in the back of your mind, like, well, what would it be like? Because there's only so much that you want to do when it comes to like just a screen in front of you. Like eventually, like, what would it be like? So yeah, those thoughts go through your head. But at the time, like for me, it was just the screen. That was all I needed at the time. I didn't really think that I was going to need anything past that because I would, you know, I'd get through this. It's going to be okay.
Did you ever hold any resentment against your wife, maybe even indirectly because of what you were feeling and the role that you were trying to fill? And not even saying that it would have been right to hold resentment. I'm just curious to know if you did.
No, I don't think I ever held any type of resentment towards her. I think where we are at now and going through therapy, I think we're really good as humans at projecting onto other people, you know, what we're worried about or ashamed of or just our own internal issues. And so I think there was a lot of projection of, you know, sex and what she could give me or couldn't give me in the bedroom and kind of me holding that over her head. But I don't hold or never have held any kind of resentment towards her. If anything, I have a lot of admiration for her.
After you have the kids and you are talking with men online or showing each other stuff online, did that have any effect on your sex life as a married couple?
Like I said in the beginning, our sex life was never, I guess, in my mind, what it should have been for a married couple. Yeah, and again, I don't know, who knows what that number actually is. You have some married couples that are like having sex every single day, but yet their husbands still go out and cheat on them. So I don't know if that's even like, I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to say, I don't know if that's really, it neither was or wasn't an issue for us, I guess, in the bedroom.
At what point in your marriage did you have a conversation with your wife that would ultimately change everything about what you guys had?
Yeah. So back in 2019, after the first of the year, I had been gone for about 6 weeks doing, again, it would be something for television. And I came back, and that experience really was very, very difficult for me. While I was gone, I was very secluded. I wasn't able to really see anybody or talk to anybody other than my wife and the people that were a part of the program. And I remember just missing her so much, so much. And while I was gone, I never had any of those like same-sex feelings. They were gone. And I remember like when I got home after being gone for 6 to 8 weeks, whatever it was, they came back like a vengeance. And I was so angry because I thought it was gone. I had missed her and I had missed our kids so much. It was one of the hardest times in my life while I was gone. And I came back and immediately, like it had been suppressed and then came back like a vengeance, like nothing I had experienced before. And I was basically bitch slapped because I wasn't expecting it. And it took me to an extremely dark place because I was like, I am never going to get rid of this. This is going to haunt me for the rest of my life. I have everything that I could possibly want. I have an amazing career. I have a beautiful wife. I have two beautiful children. I have an amazing home. I'm living an amazing life. And I am so fucked up because these feelings will not go away. What the fuck is wrong with me? I have everything that anybody could ask for, but I still cannot get these things to go away. And I remember I started diving deep. I'm not a drug user. I mean, I'll drink occasionally. I started popping pills because I was so depressed. I mean, I was whatever I could find. I was taking them to suppress how I was feeling just to kind of get through. And my wife felt it. She saw it. She knew something was going on. We really kind of chalked it up to the experience that I had just had. And over the next, 2 months through February and March of 2019, I was having panic attacks. I remember at one time she came home with both the kids and I couldn't breathe and I fell to the ground and had a massive panic attack of just the stress of what I just experienced, the thoughts that I was having, and just my life feeling like it was spiraling out of control. And on March 23rd of 2019, at about 4:30 in the afternoon, my kids were home for spring break. My wife was at work. They had a friend over. I had been drinking all day. I had been popping pills all day. And I remember sitting watching the television, and I got up, I walked out to the garage. I wrote a note in my phone that said, I'm sorry, I can't do this anymore. I can't hold onto this guilt and shame. You guys will all be better without me. And I tried to hang myself. As I was preparing the rope and tying it, I heard my kids playing in the backyard, jumping on the trampoline, and I envisioned, my wife coming home from work and finding me. And I ended up, putting my head through the noose, and I tried to hang myself. I did start to go unconscious. I didn't do a drop hanging where you would walk off of something. I did a hanging where you just kind of like lay your feet out and allow your body to pass out, and then ultimately, you die. Yes, my body wasn't ready, and didn't happen. As I remember, almost passing out, So I stood up, and I just cried like I had never cried before. And in that moment, I had physically tried to end my life, although it didn't work. I'm very thankful for that. I attempted. It was no longer thinking about it or how could I do it. I actually physically tried to end my life. And it was in that moment that I was like, I have to tell her. I have to talk to her. I have to do something, because what I just did was insane. I never thought that I would go that far. And she came home that night and the kids went to bed and she and I sat there and I opened up to her about everything. Said what I was feeling. I was confused. I was scared. I didn't want to lose her. I didn't want to lose my friends and my family. But I can't control how I feel anymore. And I'm like, I don't know what I want. And she obviously was devastated and we cried. And then that's where a lot of shifting occurred in our household. We did separate for 3 or 4 months because she had enough love for me and said, you need to go and you need to figure yourself out. As I told her, I was like, I don't know if I'm gay, if I'm bi, if I'm just curious. I don't know. And she said, okay, then you need to go. I love you. I want us to be together, but I need you to figure out what you want and what you need. So then we can move forward and figure out what that looks like for us. And to me, to have such compassion towards me, knowing what I had been tormented with my entire life and knowing what I'd gone through, knowing that she and I had talked about it way back when, and it was still something that was so deep embedded in me that I tried to take my life, she gave me enough grace to say, go figure it out. And then let's move forward then.
At this point, did you think this was possibly the end of your marriage?
Yes, I did. And I remember telling her that I, at that moment, that's not what I wanted. I didn't want our marriage to end. I loved her. I wanted to be with her. I didn't want things to change. I didn't know how else it could be different or what that meant for us as a couple. I mean, we live in a conservative town, you know, and I think that's what was important and is why she was like, you need to go and figure out what you need. You need to do some serious self-reflection, you know. And I was in therapy and really intense therapy and working through all of that, trying to understand, because I've been fighting this for so long, you know, but I didn't want our marriage to end, but I also didn't know how it could continue. So it was a very challenging place to be. And I also didn't understand who I was. And so we also started doing couples therapy together. And, you know, our therapist was like, as much as labels suck, in this instance, it's probably an important thing for you, speaking to me, to help you understand who you are as an individual and what that means moving forward with your life. Because if you're a gay man, can you, or would you too still want to be married, but then have your own partners, but yet still have like a functioning married family? Do you want to tell the rest of the world? Do you want your families to know? Or are you bisexual and you want to, you know, continue having an emotional and physical relationship with your wife? And if that's the case, then what else does that mean? Because obviously you have desires and urges for sexual interaction with men, but do you also want an emotional relationship with a man? So it was a very complex situation that we had found ourselves in, because I wanted all of those things. You know, for our society, this doesn't happen. And if it does, nobody's talking about it. And that's what really started our crazy journey in figuring out what this looked like for us and our family.
Before we go into that, I am curious to know, I don't want you to speak for her, but what was your perception of how your wife was feeling during this time?
She was broken. I think watching her go through this in the beginning was probably the hardest thing that I have had to face, because everything she was feeling are the things I never wanted her to feel. I didn't want her to feel hurt. I didn't want her to feel, you know, sideswiped, or, you know, feeling like she wasn't worthy or that she wasn't desired. I didn't want her to feel any of those things. And of course, you know, you tell your wife that you're interested in men, they instantly are like, what did I do wrong? I wasn't there for you enough. And she was broken. It really broke her. And that was very hard to watch. But what was also so beautiful about my coming out was also her story of her coming out and dealing with her childhood traumas and past traumas, and how it translated into the first half of our marriage, and letting her do some very deep personal work that she probably would have never have done with until I put us into a very uncomfortable situation. And our therapist, I'll never forget, was like, people in this world, and we'll refer to women at the moment because they're the ones that typically will carry around a purse, y'all carry around this fucking huge bag with all this shit in there, which half of it you don't even need. And then one day you're at dinner and your bag spills over, or you're driving and you go around the corner too fast and your bag spills and all this shit comes flying out of your bag. And then you're forced to look at it all and go, well, God, I don't need all this crap. And so you pick up what you need and you throw away what you don't. And so by me coming out to her and sharing my inner demons and my bag basically spilling and dumping out, it forced her bag to be spilled. And so here we are both sitting in this place of like, oh my God, who are we? We have lived this normal, heteronormative life, monogamous, doing what we do day by day, you know, being complacent, just pushing things under the rug, don't want to ruffle any feathers. We don't want to, you know, create waves with people. We you know, do this, that, and the other, just who we are. And we both realized, like, that's not who we are for very different reasons. So it was a very beautiful but also extremely tragic time, because we were both presented with having to deal with life. I mean, you're just basically handed shit on a plate. You have to dig through it.
Can I ask you, when you got to this point where you finally let her into what you were feeling and dealing with, did you feel like this monster that had been with you for your entire life, did you feel like it had finally won? Or did you feel like you were finally ready to, like, deal with it?
I mean, I think I was definitely in battle mode. I had finally acknowledged it, but I was still on this journey to really kind of, like, label it. Which is really interesting, because now it's been, you know, what, 2.5 years since all of this has taken place. I don't necessarily feel like a label is fully necessary, but in that moment of trying to, like, understand it, that label was super important. So you're battling this monster that you're like, am I gay? Am I bi? Or am I straight and just curious? Like, who am I? Because you grow up and you're either told who you're going to be, you are categorized as whatever, and that's who you are. And then when you're, you know, faced with this and you're halfway through your life, at that time I was, you know, 39, who the fuck am I? That's a really weird place to be. It's an extremely empowering place to be, because you finally get to create what your true narrative is. But what comes with that is a lot of challenges, anger, mourning. I mean, that was a really tough one, is mourning your past life and realizing, like, you have now set the train to this new life, but it also feels very freeing, but it's also really scary. And I think for me in therapy, I've always been a very black or white thinker. If it's this way, then it's not that way. If it's that way, then it won't be this way. Like, that's just how I think. And through therapy, some really intense therapy, I have learned to really be able to sit in an emotion where I feel scared, but I also feel free, or I feel excited. And that's a very weird place to be, because that's very uncomfortable for humans to sit in that kind of stuff. But it's also a really beautiful thing, because so much healing has come from that.
It wasn't exactly the story you thought you were getting, was it? The music choice probably really threw you off in the beginning because of the title of this episode. But like I said, this story has all of the above. It's got two very different parts to it, so much so that it wasn't even a question about where I wanted to split it. So I can't wait for you guys to hear part two next week. But before you go, I want to wish everyone a happy Pride Month. And I hope that you know that whether you're living your life out loud or you're living with a secret, you always have a place here. You always have a friend in me and in the listeners of this show. And you are a perfect human being just the way you are. I do not want anyone to find themselves in this place where this man found himself, feeling so lost and defeated and ready to give up on life. So, listen to me when I tell you that your life has meaning, your life has purpose, and we need you here. You, like, whether you're gay, straight, bi, pan, asexual, trans, two-spirit, intersex, whoever you are, I promise you, we need you here, and you serve a much bigger purpose than what you think. Thank you guys for listening, for being here and supporting. I will see all of you next week.
Everybody has a secret.